Praise the Lord. We're going to open the Bible to the book of Joel, chapter 1, this morning. This word birthed in my heart kind of late because I was going to preach on something else. When I met the Lord yesterday outside the gym, I don't know how this is weird, but I began to have a revelation of generations, and we've had a lot about that lately in our spirit, about the perpetual blessing that God wants to bring upon the generations. And so I thought I was going to speak on that this morning, but I think that's still percolating somewhere inside of me, even though that would be something that I think would edify us. This morning, I think something that's specifically speaking to our hearts that I think most of us can identify with. One of the things that I've learned in my years, one of the hardest concepts that I've had to embrace, is why the Lord causes us and requires of us to go through this process of things changing in our life. Change is absolutely the hardest thing that we can go through, because it's just difficult to become something different or to see things through different eyes than what we've seen them before. How many struggle with that yourself? The hardest concept is why doesn't God just let us alone where we're at? Why can't we just live where we're at instead of requiring us to go into something new and unexplored, or something maybe that we're even concerned that we cannot survive the transition? Because transition is always a challenge to the human nature. You know, one of the things that we see about Christ was himself ministering upon the earth for a season with a period of great success. Everywhere he went, there were signs and wonders, miracles, great crowds of people, many salvations, many impartations. His fame spread throughout the land. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that, he announced to his disciples, "Hey, I'm fixing to die." Well, the moment he said that, their kingdom came down, because they were hooked or attached to his success. And so all of a sudden, their world became threatened. And Peter said, "Lord, don't let this happen. This can't be. How could we disrupt this great anointing that's happening right now? And how could this be something that we could accept?" And that's when Jesus spoke to Peter and told him that he wasn't speaking from the heart of God. He was speaking from the heart of the enemy. So the Lord required that even in the midst of his success, the Lord required that he die. But the purpose of his death wasn't to end there in a grave, but the purpose of that death was to bring forth something greater. And we see in the book of Joel, chapter 1 through chapter 3, and I'm not going to read a lot of scripture out of the book of Joel, but just kind of highlight it this morning, this principle of devastation. And we see that in chapter 1 that the Lord talks a lot about bugs. Amen. It talks about the locust. And the bug's just going to get you just about any way they can, right? More, here come the bug, and there comes more bugs, and more bugs on top of the more bugs. These people were having a challenge with bugs, because they came and they literally devoured everything that was before them. The chewing locust, the swarming locust, the crawling locust, you know, they came to destroy. And it said they destroyed so much that it caused the vines to dry up. It caused the fig tree to be withered. Verse 12, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered away, and the joy has withered away from the sons of men. So we see this picture of utter destruction. And it's not a pretty picture, is it? Now, some of you have walked through the valley of destruction in your life, have you not? Have you ever walked through the valley of destruction in your life when it seemed like one thing would lead to another thing that would lead to another thing that would be likened to locusts coming after you? Until all of a sudden, everything that you were holding onto as precious or dear seems to be consumed right in front of you, and that even the joy is robbed from you. Am I the only one? No. Because the process of destruction is necessary in order for there to be a resurrection or a restoration. God is about the business of restoration. And we understand that the process of restoration means that God is going to be bringing something to our lives that's greater than what we've had before. It's hard to conceive how that death could ultimately lead to a greater life. But it does. Jesus said, you know, we talked about last week the death, the burial, and the resurrection, of course, during our Easter time. But death always leads to a burial. So the burial is simply symbolic of removing the old things. Purpose in removing the old things is obvious, so something new can come forth. Amen? So when Jesus followed the path of the cross, it was very confusing to his disciples. But he was actually telling them, this is the path of life. When you take up your cross, he said to them, even in the beginning of the ministry, if you'll take up your cross and follow me, then I'm going to bring you to the kingdom. Because the process of death always leads to the process of life. The process of lack always brings us the potential to cause us to want to change into something greater. See, if we're left where we're at, we'll become satisfied with it. You say, well, that's okay with me. You know, why can't I just be satisfied with what I've got? Because God has something greater. How many believe that God actually has something greater in mind for you? Or are you satisfied with what you've got? Amen. Well, years ago, I told the Lord that in that swamp in Louisiana, 1973, I drove a stake in the ground and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You know, I was young. I want to follow you. And if I ever turn back from you, just take my life. I've since asked him to put that pledge on hold a little bit. Wait a minute, God. He said, remember what you said in 1973? Yes, Lord, but please delay the judgment. Because there's been many times since then that I've actually felt I've been hanging on with a thread. I didn't feel like some man of power of the hour. I didn't feel like some titan of faith, some mighty apostle of revelation. I felt like someone just hanging on by a thread. And sometimes the thread broke and I wound up in the grave. I've been a reluctant grave participant. You know what I mean? Lay awake and say, boy, I can't wait to go find a hole to jump into and someone bury me. No, they've been finding me often enough. I don't have to go look for that. Amen. That's what Paul said. I'm caring about always the mark of this death in my body. I'm always keeping myself in this position because I know that if I can stay in this position, I can live in that position because if I die with him, I can be raised with him. That's a beautiful principle, isn't it? So the book of Joel talks about this great time of devastation, but he also begins to talk about this great time of restoration. And that's the good news, isn't it? See, if it wasn't for the good news, it would be pretty hard to swallow the bad news, wouldn't it? But there's good news. The gospel is good news. What God has to give to us is good news. Now, that doesn't discount the fact that God is going to take you on a journey and bring you to a place that what he's prophesied to you, he's going to cause it to grow up in you. Did you know every word that comes to you is required by God to grow in you in order to be manifested through you? Just hearing the word alone is not the completion of that word. That word must be implanted within you. It's a seed that falls into the ground called your heart. It dies there. And if you've attached yourself to that word that comes, that word that illuminates you, then get ready that illumination may soon turn to extreme disappointment. Because as long as that seed remained alive in you, it gave you a perception of who you're to be. But when that seed begins to germinate within you, it takes on a death. And then all of a sudden, you're not able to see the thing you saw before. So this great excitement that overwhelmed you by what you saw out now all of a sudden turns to the very thing that's going to cause you to become what you saw. Because it's going to work within you by its death. The death that you're suffering through it, though, is not a death of something else. It's the death of your own self. Because unless the self is removed to some extent, then the true thing of God cannot be revealed through us, because there can't be a mixture. You can't say, well, I want to receive everything of God, yet now I want to reveal it through myself. Because it's not going to become a perfect revelation, is it? It's going to be mixed. It'll be a mixture. See, God's doing this so that there can be a separation of the soul and the spirit, so that you're not manifesting simply through the soulish expression. But now you've become a kingdom manifestation of his spirit. The three great ages of that we've known in, if you want a little history lesson, the first 4,000 years that God dealt with man, he dealt mostly in a physical level. He talked about the jawbone of an ass. Talked about killing a 9-foot giant. Talked about going into a wilderness with a cloud of fire, a cloud and a pillar of fire. Those are physical things. See, God was speaking to them and working through them on this level out here. God wanted to work with them on a deeper level, but there wasn't but a few that could walk that way. It's called the Spirit. Then you see, when the church was born 2,000 years ago, you see this great soulish expression come out of that. Are you following me? And the soulish expression that we know is Pentecostal expression is this all of a sudden this emotional response that came out. But then you see in the epistles of Paul, this Paul taking us to a graduate degree, if you want to call it that. Say we went to Physical University 101 and we went to Soulish University 102, but now there's a third day coming, the Bible says. It's called the Day of the Spirit. And so Paul was speaking to them as we see that Paul evolve in his revelation. And believe me, Paul evolved in revelation. It got greater and greater as he went by. The older he became, the more he became a spiritual impartation than he was a soulish manifestation. Because the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, is the realm of spirit. And so the question becomes, are we willing to allow the dealing of God to come on the physical and the soulish level so that the spiritual level can be revealed within us? The more we cry out for purity and revelation and walking in the kingdom, we have to understand the greater our cry becomes, the greater effort comes in on the part of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place. And it takes us through journeys sometimes that we did not plan on going on. Because the greater the level of purity that comes out of us, the greater the level of straining and refinement must come to us. The more willingness we must be willing to allow the Lord then to mold us in the image that he wants us to become. It might not be the image you thought that you were going to become, right? See, I didn't realize when I signed up for this, I thought I was going to get all of this salvation, and then when I got into ministry, I was going to get all of this ministry, and because of all this ministry, I would be widely known throughout the world with my fame. I didn't know I was going to become infamous with it. I didn't know that I would be persecuted. I didn't know that I would be spoken against. I didn't know that I would be whatever. I've just been pretty much whatever, right? I didn't know that part of it was part of the deal. I just thought I could become something great. But now that I've gotten into this, I realize it was never about me to begin with. It was never about what I wanted or what I wanted to choose. It was all about what he wanted to do through me and create in me. And so I've been like a dummy, because I'll keep coming back to God. Oh God, I submit myself to you. Lord, I want to have a pure mind. I want to have a right spirit. I want to have a pure heart. And I keep praying that prayer over and over like some fool. Because all it means is the fire keeps coming to my life. The purging keeps coming. He's come to purify the sons of Levi. He's come to make a perfect offering in this hour in his kingdom of a people that have been perfected by his presence and by his fire, so that there's nothing within us that lives anymore. I've had a hard time dying. Wow. Woo. Man. Okay, I got to get back on track. Am I off the track? I don't know. Maybe this is the track we're supposed to run on. You tell me, right? Where was I before I got into all that? That was one of the biggest detours I've ever taken. I don't know if GPS can even get us back. Wow. So, oh yeah, Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beast of the field. Turn to someone and say, hey, beastie, don't be afraid. Okay. For the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. What about this? This was the same fig tree and the vine that had been consumed by the locust, that had been stripped bare, had been laid to waste. If you were to walk into the land after the locust had invaded, you would make evaluation. Man, this land is bad. Look at the waste. Look at the drought. Look at the lack of fruit here. This place is a wasteland. That same place now he's speaking about. The same place that seemed to be desolate and lost and dead. It's like Israel. When you go to Israel, you go there and you think, well, all I'm going to see is desert and wilderness. But there's a lot of that, believe me. But there's also a lot of the opposite. There's the springs and the forest and the grass. The flowers. It's amazing that in the midst of a desert, the Lord has brought forth this oasis. In the midst of this devastation, that just not many years ago, this whole land was in devastation, but now it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. See, that's the way the Lord looks at us. He says, sometimes we look and others may see it in a verb, it is, look at the devastation that they're going through, but the Lord said, hey, get ready. I'm going to restore it. Oh my gosh, they're dead. Oh, get ready. They're fixing to live. Amen? He's fixing to come forth. So be glad, children of Zion, verse 23 of chapter 2. Rejoice in the Lord, for he's given you the former rain faithfully. He'll cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, the latter rain, the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and new oil. So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Sometimes when those swarming locusts are on your case, you think they're never going to end. I mean, you got a double dose of swarming locust. Amen. How many have ever felt like a lioness carrying your little blanket around? When am I ever going to be able to get rid of this thing? This swarming locust is following me everywhere I go. Everything I touch is turning to dust. Everything I try to do is futile. Everything is frustration. Nothing seems to be working right for me. Guess what? The Lord is with you during your valley. The Lord is with you during your time. It talks about in Joel that the valley of Jehoshaphat, the place of battle, the place of Armageddon, the place where devastation reigns. The Lord is with you in the midst of that because he's about to pour out upon you a fresh rain. He's about to pour out upon you a first and a latter rain. He's about to say, this is the hour I'm going to bring a harvest to your life because you've submitted yourself to this process. You've let yourself die because now you know you're going to live with me. Hallelujah. How quickly do we embrace death? We should embrace it very quickly. We should run to the grave. We should welcome that moment of devastation, knowing that that God has chosen us to become these people that carry this anointing from heaven. This glory that comes from him that only he can bring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. So the Lord, he commits himself to this program. Let's call it the program of the Lord. You don't mind, not I got programs, but you'll like this one. It's called the program of the Lord. It's difficult to understand because everything that he brings forth, everything he brings forth will die. Everything God touches has the mark of death on it. Because everything must pass through judgment and die so that it can have then his glory in the resurrection. Well, God called me. I'm so excited. Get ready to die. We'll all be more excited when you die because then we're going to see you on the other side of the grave. You look a lot better on the other side of the grave, believe me, than you looked on the other this side of it. How many know that there's nothing stinks worse than a Christian that hasn't been through the grave yet? You know, well, there's a purpose for the grave. It's a decomposition place. All the stench is removed in the grave. The old man is removed in the grave. Because you can be a Christian and still be carrying stench until you go through the grave. Because see, when you're a Christian and you haven't been through the grave, then you're still carrying arrogance, pride, boastfulness, self-seeking, self-will, lust, anger. All those things still reign in you. But when you go through, and they all stink. But when you go through the grave, it said, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Newness of life. Yes. So quit getting hung up on dying. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you. It's the only thing that can ever happen to you in order for you to complete the program of the Lord. Because see, everything God brings forth, he lets die so it can be resurrected. Even as it was the Lord, he came forth in the earth. He ministered, then he had to die. Why did this great, wonderful, awesome man that we know as Jesus have to die? so he could bring forth something greater to the earth. Don't you think it was great enough when he was here? It was great. But wasn't it much greater now? Because he said, now that I've died, now that all can enter in. Hallelujah. Now everyone can come forth now because of that death. So God takes us to this place of death, burial, and resurrection. And every time, the thing is, it's not just a one-time occurrence, because every time you make a new step in God, you go through the same process. Over and over again. Now, I'm not talking to you out of theory. I'm talking to you about experience. Because every time God speaks a word to you, it's just like it's putting electricity into you. How many have ever gotten a word from God and said, They say when you get struck with electricity, some guy the other day, I heard it, he'd been struck 7 times. He said it's like being in a microwave. You're cooking from the inside. Now, I'd like to meet this guy who's been struck 7 times by electricity, I mean by lightning, wouldn't you? What a guy, right? I bet he's got a frizzle haircut. But that's what happens when the word of God comes into your spirit. It's like turning on the oven inside. It's like electricity inside of you. It inspires you, fires you, inspires you, moves you. Hallelujah. Your word's moving to you too, don't you? It's moving to the cross. Now, you've seen people that get the word like that, but then they won't go to the cross with it. You know what they become? It's the kind you don't want to be around. They wear thin after a while, that kind of Christian, doesn't it? People that have had the word, but yet they never have submitted it to the cross. And those people get stuck in the same place, doing the same thing over and over again. Until it becomes so repetitive that it becomes so religious that it's impossible to break through. Because the kingdom has never come to be repetitive nor to be without his anointing. The kingdom of God is come to become so real to us that nothing of ourselves is held dear. Everything that we are is given so that everything that he is can come forth. The more I yield, the more he comes forth. And I just remember, you know, this may be a two-part message because I got so much, but I remember my own experience. I could go for hours. I just give you some years. 1973, 1982, 1989, 1998, 2006, 2015, and now 2019. I've come, all of those years marks the years that you could put RIP. Those have been the years of my death. I've died many times. And every time I died, I struggled with it. I kicked against it. And to be honest with you, the older I've gotten, the more I resist it. Because at my age, my natural man keeps thinking, shouldn't I be blessed? Shouldn't I be provided for? Shouldn't I be honored? Shouldn't I be able now to take ease in Zion like most men I know? I play golf with 90 guys. I don't play golf with 90 guys every week. But I mean, there's 90 guys in the Senior Men Association at the course that I play at. And they, most of them play some. I play once a week, sometimes once 2 weeks. But every man there except me, every single one is retired. Every single one at my graduating class and the year before and the year after is retired except me. And so after you listen to all this for a season, you begin to think, huh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this when I could be doing that? Well, believe me, my golf game is not that tempting anymore to go do that all the time. So that's not a hard one to choose. But this is hard. It's hard to be the man of God. It's hard to proclaim the word of God week in and week out. It's hard to cry out. It's hard to keep seeking the Lord with all of my heart because I get weary. Because you do it this many years, you get weary. 71 years old, 48 years in the ministry, and very few can stand it that long. Not really that they can stand it. The people can't stand them much longer. That's the real problem. So I could hear a chorus, go on, just do it. Retire. Okay, we confirm it. Hallelujah. Please, don't humiliate me in public. But what I'm saying is that the thing I'm understanding is that it's not about what I do concerning who I am. It's about what do I do concerning what he wants me to do. And what he wants me to do is die again. He wants me to die to my aspiration of taking it easy. He wants to die to my aspirations of having some kind of retirement fund. He wants me to die to my aspirations about having some kind of legacy. He wants me to die to all that and just simply let him be on the throne. Amen. It's not what I want. It's 73, 81, 89, 98, 2006, 2015, and now 2019. It's never about what do I want. It's about am I willing to find the hole so that whatever I'm to be will come forth. Amen? Wow. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. I feel sorry for you for listening to me all the time. But I want to feel sorry for myself. I just want to be in him. So I stood this morning in my bathroom. And I dried my hair and I'm getting all ready to go. You know how you do. And brushing my teeth, using my mouthwash. And doing all that stuff you do. And I'm standing there and I look in the mirror. And when I look in the mirror, all of a sudden, Jesus came. Wow. Wow, there he was. In me. It's like he's in you. There he was. And all of a sudden, this old man welcomed that hole. Thank you, Lord. Because see, no matter what the world lays out there for us and offers us, it doesn't compare to that one moment in time, that one moment in your life, that one instant when you see Lord, there's nothing like him. See, when we go through this time of questioning and doubting and fear and dying, we need to understand the Lord is preparing us for something that's greater than we've ever known before. There's got to be that thing in our heart that says, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. There's got to be that within us that craves what God wants to do. The Lord told me in 1989, when that time of death, that time in our home out there in Heritage Oaks by Dripping Springs, the Lord spoke to me so clear. Said, preach my kingdom. He said, the day may come that everyone will leave you, but be faithful. And one day I'll raise up a mighty army that will hear the word and walk in it. And since then, I've been so radical. It's almost pitiful. Because the moment I think we're successful, here comes the Lord again. The moment the crowd begins to get bigger and the people begin to come, and some of you've seen this, some of you haven't because you're fairly new, but I mean, it'll go whoop, all of a sudden, whoop, here they come, and then they whoop, there they go. And you think, what in the heck? What did I do wrong? And the Lord says, have you ever heard yourself preach? Okay, now I get it. Okay. Because some fool keeps standing up here and saying, if you want to get into this thing, you've got to go through this process of birth, of death, and then life. If you're going to do this, you've got to become this new creation instead of just a regurgitated old creation. Regurgitation never smells good. Thank God I haven't had that in a while, right? Hallelujah. Woo. The Lord is preparing something greater, to a higher place, to a greater place. We were talking last week about some of the things. Some of you don't even realize that we went through a process. 1998, there was a death right here at this church. There was a death. Not a physical death, but there was a death. I died. In 1999, the glory started coming. That's when we had all the signs and wonders. Gold and all that stuff we talked about. Glory clouds. Wow. Manna on the pulpit. And you say, well, why don't we have that again? Well, I don't care if we have it or not. What I care is we have him. Amen? I'm not looking for manifestations. But I love the manifestations. Lord, send some more. It's kind of fun. Right? But if we're not living for that, we're not living for the season. We're living for this revelation to come that says that we're so submitted into this purpose of God that we're so laid hold of the Lord that nothing will let us go. Because see, we don't want to keep feeding at the same level. See, we could have become the church of the Holy Gold. One time we could have become the church of the Holy Rollers. At one time, if you didn't come in here and roll on the floor and laugh, then people thought you were unreligious or unspiritual. But that's not the mark of spirituality. Many times it's the mark of carnality. Because we can't stop at the level that God met us on. We have to be willing to let there be another level come to us. We can't stop on the level that satisfied us. And because we cannot be any satisfaction unless there's that pressing in to the more that God wants. And what he's told them in the book of Joel, when this devastation comes, this is a time. Cry out to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Weep between the porch and the altar. Because that's when he'll meet you again. That's where I'm at. I started to come down here Saturday night. And I didn't make it. But I just wanted to come here on the altar and weep. Not because things are bad. Not because we're horrible. It's because, Lord, I know there's more. I want to be with you. I want to say, Lord, we're crying out in this hour that what is to be revealed, let it be revealed in us. We're not seeking another revival. The revival mentality, unfortunately, will stick you into revival. We don't want revival. We want revelation and manifestation of the Christ in us. I don't want to be enthused just for my flesh or my soul. I don't want something just to come to inspire me. I want something to come to reveal him. Amen. We've got to become desperate to seek this resurrection out of death because it'll bring us to this whole new plane. And I got to close. Wow. Why don't I close earlier? I don't know. Woo. It says in the book of Acts chapter 3, well, I didn't read Hosea. I got to read Hosea. I won't comment on it. But Hosea chapter 6, come, verse 1, let us return to the Lord. For he's torn, but he'll heal us. How many have been torn a little, right? Shake your hand if you've been torn a little. He's stricken, but he'll bind us up. How many feel like a little stricken, but he'll bind you up? After 2 days, he will revive us. See, that's the three. See, the three. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. This is the day in the body of Christ called the third day of the Lord. It's called the day of the kingdom. We're not living in the old covenant. We're not even living in during the time of the church age or Pentecostalism. If that's what you want to live at, forget about it. There's something greater coming. Amen. Forget about it. There's something greater coming than just a soulless expression of Pentecostalism. What is coming is this is the hour that I'm telling you that the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. This is the day that's coming before us. He will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue this knowledge of the Lord. Is going forth, is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. As much as I'm talking about these locusts and these worms and all these bugs and all this devastation and all this death, can I talk to you a little bit more about this rain that comes? Hallelujah! This glory that comes from heaven. Whoa! Man, when the glory comes, there's nothing like the glory of God that comes from heaven. When the rain clouds, when you hear the sound of rain, look up. It's coming. God is about to pour out his spirit upon the earth once again. Upon our church once again. Hallelujah. It may look bad. It may smell bad. It may appear bad, but the looks are deceptive. The Lord is about to do something mighty in the midst of us. Mighty in the midst of us. Some have already given up on us. Some have already withdrawn from us. Some have already pulled back from us because, well, it doesn't look very successful to me. Well, that's the best way it should look. Because that's the greatest pathway to success. It's when it looks the least, it'll become the greatest. When it becomes, seems to be nothing, then get ready for something to happen. Something to happen. Because when God births what he wants to have happen on the earth, it's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand up and give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus!